dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
This is Jim Hansen, Executive Vice President of the Center for Security Policy, and I do not hate Muslims. The very fact that I need to say that is a sad commentary on the state of discussion about the problem of Islamist terrorism. Now, I find this fact personally offensive, as I have spent a lot of time doing humanitarian work in Muslim countries. I served in Army Special Forces, and while most of you are probably familiar with the missions of kicking in doors and returning terrorists to room temperature, you may not know that almost every Special Forces deployment has an additional component of helping out the local populace. So I have built schools, dug wells, and immunized Muslim kids all over the world. And yet, I am called a hater and an Islamophobe by liberals and Islamist mouthpieces because I have the audacity to point out that killing to advance your religion is wrong. That oppressing women is wrong. That mutilating little girls is wrong. That slaughtering gays in nightclubs is wrong. And that setting bombs in crowded cities and stabbing people in malls is wrong. And yet they're telling me to shut up about all that. Well, that is wrong. There is a concerted effort to demonize and silence those of us who speak out and say the simple truth that the vast majority of terrorism in the world is committed by Muslims and done to further the cause of Islamic domination. That should not be a point of argument or even discussion. It is simply a fact. That's not said out of hatred. That's not Islamophobic. But until the world realizes this, accepts this, and works to stop this, we will never stop the scourge of Islamic supremacism. But instead, we get howls of outrage, and the Commander-in-Chief of the United States making the incandescently foolish statement that the Islamic State is not Islamic? Well, I'm sorry, Mr. President, but you're not arguing with me about this. You're arguing with Al-Azhar University in Egypt and the rest of the most authoritative voices in Islam. They don't all agree with the tactics ISIS uses, but they steadfastly affirm the fact that they are part of Islam. And again, saying that doesn't make me a hater. It makes me someone telling the truth. And saying these painful truths could put me in a re-education camp if the left gets its way. I'd be learning how these are a remnants of the dead white guy mentality that must be destroyed so we can usher in the new global consciousness and let sweetness and light and the milk of human kindness flow forth. Well, sorry, folks, but left-wing statist policies, starting with censoring free speech, are the road to the destruction of individual liberty, and if implemented as they want, would snuff out the leading force for freedom in the history of this planet, these United States of America. President Obama took to his secular pulpit at the United Nations yesterday to give his final pitch for the subjugation of the United States to the will of the rest of the world. You could not find a more dangerous plan anywhere in our history. He said, giving up some freedom of action, binding ourselves to the international rules over the long term, enhances our security. Now, he may believe that the path to safety, security, and prosperity is greater fealty to an organization like the UN that is dominated by Islamists, tyrants, kleptocrats, and nations that not only fail to share our values, but are hell-bent on destroying them and us. Well, I sure don't. the UN shares Obama and Hillary Clinton's view that the future does not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. That's another of Obama's incandescently foolish quotes. And all of them believe that speech critical of Islam should be silenced. As Secretary of State, Hillary went so far as to support UN Resolution 16/18, which seeks to criminalize any speech which offends Islamists. Now, she at least had the common decency to point out that, well, here in the United States, we have that whole pesky First Amendment thing, so we'll have to use things like shunning and shame rather than criminalization. But her goal was the same as theirs. It was to stop people from saying things that offend Muslims. That is so antithetical to the idea of free speech that it completely turns around the Constitution. There is no right to be free from offense anywhere in our founding documents or laws. Precisely the opposite is true. The right to speak, even if it hurts the feelings of others, is the exact purpose of the First Amendment. Offensive speech is that which is most deserving of our protection, because speech that doesn't bother anybody doesn't need it. Allowing the Constitution to be shredded because the Islamists have decided that the rest of us must submit to their delicate sensibilities is a death trap for democracy, and we must fight it relentlessly. Now, I have no desire to offend Muslims out of dislike, hatred, Islamophobia, or any other reason. But I absolutely refuse to be silent when the facts before my eyes show there is a deadly problem within the Muslim community. Not all Muslims are terrorists, of course. Not all Muslims support terrorism. But the terrorists and the supremacists and those who believe we should not just shut up but submit all come from the legitimate interpretations of Islam. They are not a tiny minority who hijacked a great religion, as the president would have you believe. Hundreds of millions of Muslims worldwide believe that Sharia law should be supreme over any man-made law. And much worse, they're just fine if violence is required to achieve that. I can't think of a more un-American set of beliefs, and yet we are told we must not talk about this, and even worse, saying that people who believe those things should not be allowed to come to this country makes you a racist, Islamophobic hater. Wrong again. It makes you someone with the common sense not to sign on to a suicide pact. There is no right to come to the United States. It's not in our laws. It's not in the Constitution. It is nowhere. It is a gift we give to the rest of the world. If you want to build a better life, if you share the values that we hold dear, you can have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but you cannot have it at the expense of the rest of us. You can't bring with you a barbaric totalitarian ideology like Sharia, which far exceeds the bounds of religion. It is a code that governs every aspect of life, and then expect the rest of us to kowtow to that, to submit to that. In addition to free speech, the First Amendment also guarantees the right to practice your religion without prohibition, but it does not guarantee that an ideology that far exceeds religion and that is in direct conflict with the Constitution and the rest of our laws can be freely practiced. Your right to freely practice religion stops when it imposes on others and forces them to bow to your dictates. I have zero problem with Muslims who want to come here and Muslims who live here and practice their religion without oppression, without forcing it on others, without expecting that we change the basic freedoms this country was founded on. but I have zero tolerance for the Sharia supremacists who have come here expecting to impose their religion on the rest of us and expect us to just sit quietly by as they run our world. Up next, we'll talk with Diana West about how Europe has already failed this test that we're facing right now. This is Jim Hansen. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.